Well, good morning, everyone. Today is the last week in a series that we're calling 28 Days to Breakthrough. And for those of you who are just sort of arriving on the scene, what we've done is a few weeks back, we challenged people to pray for 4 weeks, 7 days a week, just a quick prayer for three specific things. We've been asking people to pray for something for yourself, right? There's some particular need, something for a family member, and then something for a friend. We've given caveats that, you know, the thing for yourself, you can't pray like, God, give me $1 billion, and, you know, for your, you know, the friend, I need someone hot, this tall, and that sort of thing with this kind of job. You know, things that you really need, but it's sort of like a first step towards that. But at the same time, I told you, pray for whatever you feel like you need. And so we've been challenging you to do that. If you're new, we'll just ask you to pray this week. On your way in, you received a palm in commemoration of Palm Sunday. Put that somewhere and let that be a reminder to you of the path that Jesus took in order to create an opportunity for us to pray. Okay. When I first started this series, I told you that I didn't want to do this series because I was furious with God. And I just felt like I just needed to be honest with you. I did not want to do this series because I was not talking to him. I didn't talk to him for about a part of 2 weeks. And I feel that today I need to give you a little fuller explanation as to what actually was happening. A couple years ago, I felt the need to assess whether or not God wanted me to continue here as the pastor of this community, or if God was calling me to go and write and speak around the country, that kind of stuff. And it was very difficult for me. Lisa was like, you need to go to counseling to make sure your head's straight as we're processing through that. So I went, we went, I redid all of the personality tests, you know, all these, like, what is your color? I'm a lion, I am a fish, you know, all these sorts of, I did all of it. And finally, I was like, I just have to decide. So I booked a ticket to Israel. I paid to go to Israel and go to the Sea of Galilee, and there's a mountain there called Mount Arbel. And on the top of Mount Arbel, I sat on a rock. I'll show you the exact rock if I get an opportunity to take you there. And I opened up a clean, fresh Lectern 19 portfolio. And I said, what do you want me to do? I'm looking over the place where Jesus walked on water, where the fishermen were there, the lady that was healed, the blind man. I'm looking at it all. I'm like, I need you to tell me what you want me to do. And here's what I heard. Finish the job. And here's what he heard. I'll finish the job, but I can't continue stressed about the finances of the church. Financial stress to me is like gasoline thrown on anxiety for me. I said, you're going to have to do something. And I heard, if I can make money appear in the mouth of a fish. Remember that story? I got to pay taxes. Jesus told Peter, go, and there's a coin in the fish. If I can make money appear in the mouth of a fish, I can provide the finances that the church needs. I was like, all right. So I came back 100 miles an hour. You remember I came back, I told you this. We did a campaign called the Imagine Campaign. We're ready to go into 2024 and hit it, man. We are so excited about doing life as a community and impacting. And then the finances got tight again. You know, we're doing a campaign. People are taking over this. And I just felt like God lied to me. Like, what? Like, we just talked about this. And it started now, I think I'm up to 55 days now. I forget exactly. A migraine every single day since that started happening. Stress-induced migraine, with and without aura. And so Lisa was getting ready to go see a counselor, and she was like, you're taking my spot, because I'm telling her, God has lied to me, or there's no God. There are two cards on the table. Either I completely made this up, there is no God, I feel stupid, I should have gone to law school, or, you ever do that? Like, all of these, there is no God, and therefore there's no meaning in the universe, and I'm not going to pay my taxes, and I'm going to move to Montana, and you know, all this kind of stuff. I do that, right? And then the other one is, he just lied. There is a God, and he just lied. So I went to counseling, Lisa's appointment, and I said, well, if you're making me go to your appointment, you're coming with me. So I meet her counselor, and first thing she said is, are you depressed? And I said, no, I'm not depressed. I'm pissed at God. I am, how could he do this to me? How could he tell me he was going to take care of it? And then I'm right back in this same boat. So we go through a number of different sessions, and then I'm about to tell you something that you're going to think is like, woo-woo, and that's okay. Third session, I sit down, and I'm just telling, like, how are you? I'm like, I told you. I am so mad, I'm ready to start throwing stuff. And then she said, do you really believe that God talks to us? I'm like, I've never heard an audible voice, but I do think he speaks to us in impressions. And so she kept pushing me on this. And then finally I said, yeah, I believe it because I know what happened to your grandmother. And she was like, what? Hold on, my grandmother? And I said, yeah. She said, you're telling me that you know what happened to my grandmother? And I'm like, yeah, I said, I've never told anybody this before. I told people at church once recently. I didn't tell my wife for 25 years, but there will be times where I'll see something and there'll be like a picture of something. And the first time I shook your hand, I was taken back to your grandmother's house. I was in the kitchen and it was like an old house and there was a window and then there was a door and I was looking through the eyes of someone and there was an ominous feeling and I'm looking into the family room and she said, hold on, I know exactly what you're describing. And she went on to describe, and I said, there's an ominous feeling, and I see this picture of a puzzle piece, and somehow that's supposed to mean something to you. And she said, you're describing what happened, that there's some terrible incident in their family that happened, all the daughters, and this, and it was like exact. And I said, yeah, I always thought, man, I've been insane, but ever since I became a Christian at 18, about three or four times a year, there will be an instance where I will see something, and then I don't even know what it is, but I'll say to the person, hey, here's what I see, and it's like what they needed, you know? I'm not saying that I don't even know what it is. She said, you want to know exactly why you're having, as soon as you met me, why you had that? Because this was a confirmation that you think there's one table, you're insane or there's no God, and then there's another card on the table that there is a God and he lied. But what God's showing you is that there's a third card on the table, and that third card is, I'm with you, I love you, and I'm at work, just not how you think I am. I'm going to do it in my own time and my own way. She said, so you've had these experiences all the way through your entire life. And now this happened immediately as I'm talking to you. And I'm telling you that's exactly what happened. And all this is I believe this is a confirmation to you that God is with you. You need to be patient. Let him do his work. And so I share that with you at risk of, I asked Lisa, should I say this? She's like, I don't know. Thank you for the confirmation there and the boldness. And I want you to say it's not really that far off what all of us, you know, like you get like a feeling in your stomach or like this premonition of something. We all have that in some way, shape, or form. It's just, I always see in pictures. And that has always worked. And so I just think that today I'm supposed to talk about that third card for you, about how God's going to work. And then we're going to do something at the end of the service we've never done before in our church. And hopefully you find it meaningful. There's this passage in the book of Revelation. Revelation is usually the hangout spot for all of the kooky Christians in the world as they're coming up with conspiracy theories about the end times. The book of Revelation is not about the end of the world. The book of Revelation is when you think your world is going to end, and God wants to give you a confirmation that he's in control. And so there's this idea, book of Revelation is the genre of literature is apocalyptic literature. Apocalypse comes from two Greek words. There we go. Two Greek words to lift the veil. And if you can go to the next slide, and what it's like is there's a line between heaven and earth. And even for those of you who are brand new today and you're skeptics, you're hoping and praying that there's something after we die, okay? And all I'm saying is that the book of Revelation is saying that there is something after we die and it exists right now, but we can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't taste it, we can't touch it or hear it because there is this veil between heaven and earth. And so what the book of Revelation does is that when your world is falling apart, there are passages in it where the veil is taken away and you're able to see what God is doing. And so let's go to Revelation chapter 8, where it says, Revelation 8:1, it says, "And he opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour." Lean to the person next to you and ask them, "Do you think we need to play the music at church louder or softer?" Go. Can you do that? Louder or softer? I have good news for those of you who don't know this, for you think it's too loud, we have earplugs in the back. We literally have earplugs for people if you think it's too loud. I want you to think of heaven as a chorus and as a choir. How many people are on the earth today? We've got a few billion, right? What is it, up to 8 now? I want you to think of all the people that ever lived, all of the people that have made Jesus the leader and the forgiver of their life, the before God, and I think, man, there's nothing cooler than a big gospel choir singing. And what we see in Revelation chapter 5 is this concert giving God glory, which is basically, it comes from the glory is from the Hebrew word, it's doxa, and in Hebrew it's kabod, but it meant heavy, it was a weight. So when you weigh something, oh, I'm gonna buy this, and that's going to be 3 of these, right? And so when we say we're going to give God glory, what we're doing is we're simply saying, hey, I want to thank you for everything that you're doing. I just want to give props. Way to go. That's what worship is. And so I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, Revelation 5, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, and they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice, and they were all saying what? Worthy is the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus, right? Why? Why is he worthy? Why are we giving him this adoration right now? Who was slain for us on the cross to receive, worthy are you to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and all the good stuff that we could possibly throw you and honor and glory and praise. Everyone at one voice saying, you're awesome. Probably not thumbs up, that would be weird, right? So I want you to imagine then this is happening in heaven, and then Revelation 8 happens. And it says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them, and an angel who had a gold censer. A censer is a bowl. In the first century. And in the bowl is what? Read that verse. What's in the bowl? All right? Having this bowl stood at the altar, he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. And they're lifting up the prayers. And what causes heaven to go silent and to stop telling Jesus how awesome he is. It's your prayer. Sitting in that car on a Saturday night, you've had a few drinks, you're like far from God, and you're like, man, I just need help. And God's like, hold on. You can get back to thanking me later. Hold on now. Listening to that person. And what the book of Revelation is saying is that you matter. Theologian Walter Wink says history belongs to the intercessors, those who believe and pray the future into being. We've been talking about all these different things that happen with prayer. All of these different ways, all of these different things. And the problem isn't that we don't know these things. The problem is we just simply do not get off of our phones or off of Netflix or stop working to simply pray. But the early church looked at it a different way. The early church, the first Christians after Jesus' death, knew a secret that he taught them. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. They devoted themselves. And 2024 language, with all of the wonderful productivity influences out there, they're going to tell you, this needs to be of one of the top two things you're going to do in the day. You're going to do it first. You're going to do it before you take your 5 a.m. ice bath plunge. You're going to do it before you do the little mantras. You're going to do it before you do anything. This is more important than anything you do all day. Because as Walter Wink says, is that you're going to pray the future into being. It is not yet. And you're going to collaborate with God. You're going to pray it into being. We are not the kind of church that believes that the future is set. The future, like God knew me and he did it all and I really, no, bro, he's saying pray and he's going to listen to you. The future is going to be changed because of your prayer. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus, what happened? He got up, left the house, went to a solitary place, and he prayed. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the whole night praying. Usually for me, when I stop praying, it's because I've stopped paying attention. I've stopped paying attention because if you pay attention, hurry is the enemy of the presence of God. When we allow ourselves to constantly hurry, we don't allow ourselves to slow down and pay attention. Let me give you an example. During the last how many weeks of migraines and self-pity and yelling at God and everything, I haven't really taken a lot of time just to slow down and listen and pay attention. And part of it is, do you remember when I showed you a video a couple months ago and I said we're getting lambs? For those of you who aren't, those of you who are new, I'm not going to be a farmer, but I want like a gentleman's farm, you know? Honestly, part of it stems from like this savage allergence to gluten and paying attention to food. I got chickens, 13 of them, because I wanted to know where my food came from. So what I'm putting into them, I know I'm directly coming back because me and Meadow love eggs. So I'll do that. And then, so I said, I'm going to get lambs. Not that I'm going to eat them. That'd be terrible, but I want to have them. I want to see them. I want to care for them. I'm going to lamb. I want to be able to give people lamb. Do you want a lamb? I'm going to have a few lambs here. So when we went down to Maryland to go put a deposit down with our breeder, we saw this immaculate farm. He's like, you know, I just spent $100,000 on fencing. $100,000. I leaned over to Lisa. I said, I'm going to Tractor Supply and getting T-posts and cattle panels. I'm doing this whole thing for $300. I said, I can't do this. So at the end of it, I was like, I came home and I was like, gosh, I'm not going to spend that kind of money for a hobby, but I really want it. I really want a farm, and I've been praying for a long time about it. So, past couple months go by, I'm wallowing, and then a guy emails me. He's like, hey, so I have a friend who's in a pickle, and I thought maybe you could help. So I call her, and she says, yeah, so I have a business. We're an animal sanctuary, and we raise old English South Down baby doll sheep. Look like little teddy bears. And she said, and my business computer crashed, and I didn't put it on the cloud. So all of the people who had spoken for these lambs, they're all gone now. And now I have 10 lambs. Do you want them? Lisa's like, we're not getting 10 lambs. We are not getting 10 lambs. I said, I'll take three. I said, I'll take three girls. She said, I'll give you a boy for 200. I was like, I'll take it. I'm getting four. And it was like just sort of like Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, you do know that God loves giving his kids gifts, right? He just loves giving them good gifts. And I think this was one of them, just for no other reason than, hey, so for certain, give me a drum roll. These are the four sheep that we're going to be bringing home at the end of May, maybe June. All right, so can I show you these? Right here. Anyway, they're adorable. Three white ones and a black one. They're going to be great. Hopefully, I'll be able to take them here for like Easter pictures with kids. Don't you think that'd be cute? Anyway, to me, that's just simply a reminder that God's always looking out for our best. Oftentimes, not in the way we think it's going to happen, not in the way it's going to happen. I had no idea that this was going to happen this way. I had no idea. The book of James tells us, is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. So, Heavenly Father, we are so incredibly thankful that you invite us to come to you. You invite us to hop up on your lap. You invite us to vent, yell sometimes. And then when we get it all out of our system, you just need to hear from us. We don't have any place else to go. Could you help us? Heavenly Father, I thank you for our community as we are interrupting heaven with our prayers. I pray that people would know and be reminded and confirmed that you are listening and you are going to act. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Brian Jones Sermons. For more information and to find similar articles on this topic and more, please go to Brian's website at brianjones.com.